Hi, my name is Kathy. I'm a very grateful recovering compulsive overeater living in Shreveport, Louisiana. Hello to all of you. And I will tell you my qualifications. I've been in OA 49 years, started when I was 17. I've got 18 years of abstinence. I'm also in the beverage program and the people who help the beverage takers program. And quite a few years in those. I will just start out saying I really believe my purpose on earth is to give hope that recovery is possible, not only physical recovery, but emotional, mental, and spiritual recovery. And I like to s give you the ending first. I am the happiest I've ever been in my life, and I consider that completely due to the 12-step programs, and especially OA. So where I come from is Long Island, New York. I was born there, youngest of five, pretty dysfunctional family. There was a lot of love, but a lot of craziness. And I will show you just one picture that gives you the idea. This is my mother. She was a compulsive overeater and a hoarder and a rager. And this was the kitchen. And if that gives you an idea of how an eating disorder could have possibly started, then a picture's worth a thousand words. My dad was a teetotaler, basically a really decent man. Hardworking, intelligent, and I really loved him a lot. And my mother, I did love her. She was probably bipolar, and there were times she could be the most wonderful person, the most giving, loving, warm, fun person, and then other times it was like mommy dearest. I mean, she would wake us up at 3 in the morning to. I remember this one time she pulled the station wagon up and shined the headlights on the flower bed, and we had to weed, or she would call us down in the laundry room, and she used to grab me by the hair, go up and then squeeze, and she would just put her face in my face. I was like 5 years old. She used to call me lady, and she would just scream, and she beat us. I was fortunate. I kind of knew how to stay out of trouble, but my next brother up probably had ADHD, and he would just, and another brother got beat mercilessly. And so it was crazy. And then another big thing that happened to me was at 4 and 8 years old, I was sexually abused by a family member and a neighbor. And I probably, I love that freedom from bondage opening where she says that psychiatrists and doctors may have said that her background lent itself to addiction, but it was really her because. Why does somebody that comes out of the ghetto can become the president of the United States and then other people? So I think it's me and my responses. I was an anxious and depressive child. When I was really, say, below 12 or 13, I did a lot of ballet, gymnastics, a little modeling. I was a good student. That also, coming from New York, it was back in the days of Helen Gurley Brown and Cosmopolitan. And as you guys know, you're on the East Coast, New Jersey. It was Twiggy was back in my day. I mean, the thing was to be thin, thin, thin. I took ballet at School of American Ballet in Lincoln Center and under George Balanchine, and those dancers were so thin. And that was my mindset was, to you couldn't be rich enough, thin enough, and smart enough. That was, that new Northeast thing. When I got to my teens, I stopped dancing and I started to put on a little weight. Now, I've only lost about 35 pounds total, but you got to remember, I started when I was 17, and God knows what I would have ended up weighing. Or knowing me, as you'll get to know, because I was bulimic and anorexic, I probably would have either killed myself or died from throwing up, some, what am I trying to say? Like when your electrolytes, like Karen Carpenter, I probably would have had a heart attack or killed myself. So in my teens, that was back in Woodstock, if you guys, in drugs and alcohol rampant. At least we didn't have the fentanyl that they have today. But, I drank and smoked pot and took various drugs just like everyone else my age. And dieting was, I started to gain weight and I have like a pear-shaped figure and I hated that. I mean, I hated that my thighs were getting big because I just had that model image in my mind. And dieting was really, really hard. And usually things came pretty easy to me. I mean, I was good physically as far as gymnastics and all that. I was good at school. But dieting just really was hard. It was really hard. It was the first thing that was really hard. Well, this is an irony. My mother, who was probably one of my worst people in my life in terms of problems I had, is actually who brought me to the answer. And she found Overeaters Anonymous. She used to know about a lot of stuff. She would listen to radio programs back then. They had all these talk shows, and she would just listen to them. And she knew about AA. She knew about Al-Anon. So I went with her. The first meeting I went to, I think I was 14, and I was still pretty thin. But then I started going at about 17. And she couldn't stick with it. She ended up dropping out. Where it says in the big book, she was not at fault. She was constitutionally incapable of being honest with herself. So I don't, I really felt bad for my mother. She was a sick woman. I found OA. I got really thin with it, probably too thin. I went to college and my life kind of took a left turn here. I wanted to be a psychologist, had a degree in psychology, and my dad did not like that. He was an electrical engineer, so he frowned upon it, and that's all I had to see was he didn't like that. And I was taking a private pilot license for fun. I was into lots of stuff. I did scuba diving and skiing and just all sorts of stuff. But I was taking this private pilot license my last semester of college, and my instructor was a World War II pilot. And we got along really well, just loved him. And he said, "Did you ever think of being a pilot?" And I said, "No, thought of being a flight attendant, but I just assumed military guys did that." Well, I looked into it. And kind of just as simple as that, I went down to Vero Beach. My dad thought it was pretty cool because he wanted to be a World War II pilot, but he was colorblind. So I went to flight school, and when I first got there, I really had no clue what I was getting myself into because I didn't know a short circuit from a, I mean, I was a girl. I did had no clue about pneumatics, hydraulics, all, but I learned pretty damn clear. From there, I became a flight instructor and then went to my first airline in Arkansas, then to Shreveport. On the gig is you got to keep flying bigger airplanes. During this time, there were no OA meetings, and I was going to AA, and that's how I, when I first thought that I was having trouble with drinking. So I stopped drinking, and I'm really grateful for that. God has followed my life in retrospect. He has really placed everything exactly how it was supposed to be. Because I stopped drinking and was in OA like very young. So I avoided a lot of the horrible consequences that so many of us have. The only thing is, I slipped and slid with my absence for 30 years. I say it was like the Israelites in the desert. They went 40. I went 30 years just slipping and sliding, because when I got in, back then we didn't have any literature. I didn't know about the allergy and the obsession. I mean, anyway, and I put all my focus on career. I was just absolutely driven. And I worked like a dog. And I basically did meetings and work. Came to Shreveport, met my husband. And by the grace of God, he's a really good person. We've been together 42 years, which is a miracle. Again, in a nutshell, he wanted me to stay here. So I went back to school, got a degree in nursing, worked for a couple of years, and the little airline he was on went out of business. We both applied to all the airlines, and we were hired at a major airline, and did that for about 18 years. And I was actually on the EAP as a volunteer through the union, and I had one relapse with alcohol while I was there and went to treatment. And that really, really helped me with all the family of origin stuff, because growing up like that, I didn't know who I was. I was very, very codependent. Couldn't get thin enough, hated myself, by the way. Like, really dislike myself. Hated my body. And that treatment, and I had like 2 years of group and an individual, and that really helped with that. In 2005, my husband and I were able to retire early. We saved and we inherited both our parents' past, and we were able to retire early by the grace of God. And that's when my recovery really took off, because I was able to devote myself to the program. And that's when I started listening to some of these intensive big book studies. I won't mention names. Just really learning the big book, all the steps thoroughly and deeply. And when I was living at home and I could sleep at night, because I was flying international. So it was like 4 hours on, 4 hours off, flying to Japan and all over the Far East and Europe. It was really hard to, talk about hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. Except I wasn't angry, I was anxious. So when I got home, I was able to start sleeping at night, and really got into the steps, and that's when my absence got consistent, and that I have 18 years now. I did lots of service at all levels, and today, what I just want to talk a little bit the last 7 years in particular. Today, I live in steps 10, 11, and 12. Step 10, I use, you can get these books at region 1, 7, and 8. And they're great because you start off, you write your food plan, your gratitudes, you read something in journal, and then at night you do your evening review. And on step 10, I use show you. I have this from the OA 12-step workshop workbook, the spot check inventory on my desktop. And the last 7 years in particular, I've really, really just gotten more, really learned a lot. Like I went to another program and I really got a hold of my codependency. I got over shame. I've learned how to love myself and I've learned how to have compassion for myself. And then most recently, I used to work so hard for OA and some of the other programs. And just in the last 4 months, I pulled back from a lot of that service. And today I am really getting a life of fixing up my home, having more fun, going out with friends. And, it's taken me years. I've had so much to get over between sexual abuse and all the craziness of my home. Depression, anxiety, body dysmorphia. And I am, I just believe God has put me out here for people that have had a lot of big problems. And I'm here to tell you that my favorite slogan is keep coming back no matter what. If you, I, that was the one thing I really did right. I never left. I kept coming back. I was relentless. And today, I am really enjoying life. I love myself. I have compassion. I have a higher power through this program. I came in as an atheist. I have a very deep, wonderful relationship with my higher power. I have a great sponsor in each program. I have good friends, great relationship with my husband, but I don't expect him to make me happy. That was a big thing. I really understand now I have to make my own self happy. And, I just can't say enough about this program. It's completely life-giving because there was a lot of times I wanted to end it all. I don't know. Yeah, I did get close. I never did anything, but I was really contemplating. And today, life is it's wonderful. I just like the simple things. I mean, we have a golden doodle. I love going out in the backyard. I love my home. I'm just a happy camper, and it is completely due to the 12 steps. I went to OA and the other meetings all through my college degrees, my flight school. And it's just been such a great support. It helped me to reparent myself. When you come out of a home like that, you don't know how to think, how to deal with life, deal with people. And the 12-step programs are just, and I can't believe they're free, basically. It's just such an amazing support group and spiritual group. And wow, I've got 2 seconds. With that, I will pass. Love you guys. Thank you for giving me a wonderful life.